totalitarian system. I'm an actress, and I have done much of TV and radio work, I mean creative work mostly. I have made my own programs, and several years I was in the theater, but somehow I didn't find any, how to say, find the right place in the theater or so, and I began to do my own things where I could just pick up the material myself and try to say what I have to say. So it's also a problem of a totalitarian system that a human being is mostly taken or treated not as he is or she is, but as it is needed for the system. So figuratively, I could say that very often I'm a round rock, maybe, is taken and is put into the wall where it doesn't really suit. And if it doesn't suit, then the edges are cut off, so that it is forced into the place where it doesn't really suit. It's a very serious problem, and I'm in the United States. I'm the second time, and also I have met very many American groups and many people in Estonia when they are tourists and they are coming there. And I must say that one thing what is very different from our people, what is yours, is you are very open and very free. You just,
just when you're sitting, put your feet on the other, or just how you're sitting or how you're behaving, you just act as you feel that you just want to, as you feel comfortable. But very often in our people, they try to be polite and they try to maybe to behave better while being together with, say, foreign or strange people. So, this is the result of being grown in a free society or being grown in a totalitarian society where, well, from the very first years of childhood, the parents usually restrict their children, and very often in the open or in public places they say, oh, don't speak so loud, don't laugh so loud, sit down and be very quiet, and don't mess up with her. The adults want to speak or so. Well, and also I have seen here that the kids are much more free than ours. Also, I had an experience with a junior high when I was in the first global mission event in Pennsylvania, Indiana University. Then I had a workshop about Estonia, and one workshop was meant for the junior high. And there was about 25 kids, and they came into the room, and there was so much noise. And I said to my daughter, oh my God, I don't dare to step into this room, they're going to eat me up. And they also were feeling very, very free and sitting as they liked. But when I began to speak, they were very much interested, and they were quite normal people. So it ended up to be a very interesting conversation with them. And of course, they knew less about Estonia than adults usually do, because they don't watch the news on TV and don't read the newspapers so much, maybe. So it was very new, really, for them, and they were astonished about many, many things what I told them. So, so I'm really a creative person, and I can speak to you about things that I have suffered myself in my life. So it's not a glimpse from somewhere far off, but it's a kind of insight problem. So the spiritual has really two meanings. I think it's also in your language, it has two meanings. Spiritual, it can be something connected with God, religion, ecclesiastic, sacred. Yes, it's. Mm-hmm. And also it can be like mental, intellectual. Yes. I'm taking these both of the meanings I'm taking here together, trying to speak about the church life and also the mental, intellectual life. In Estonia, we have two different words for these two spiritualities. They come from the same stem, from the stem, the word that means spirit, and means also ghost. But they have different suffixes, and they have, so they, we have two different words. So, sometimes it seems to me that the Estonian language has some better expressions for some things, but very often also it seems that English has more flexible, or has more exact words for different things. So, what is totalitarian system? I think you all know it. What's the difference? What the main difference is between the free society and totalitarian system? It's, I could put it very shortly like that. It's, in free society, the state is for the people. You understand? And in totalitarian society, people are for the state. So that state is important, the system is important, ideology is important. One human being doesn't mean anything. But in a normal system, I would say in a normal system, in a human system, one human being is the most important thing, because the society consists of human beings, and the more human being has possibilities to develop and to use his talents, the better will be the society. But this thing is not taken into account in totalitarian system. The totalitarian system wants a human being to be a little screw in the big machinery. And again, I could say figuratively, it's like planting plants or trees or flowers. They are very different because people are different. They come from different seeds. And God has different meanings with different people. So everyone grows different. But, well, the plants grow, some very nice flowers are smaller, some are bigger, well, under the trees. But the totalitarian system, like, cuts all on one height, so that don't put your head up, otherwise you will be beheaded. A small thing that I noticed here, the thing that bugs me still and is going to bug further, is the red flag that I see from my window. Of course, there's no such a state anymore which uses this red flag. I know that some groups of people use this red flag. The red flag is now the flag of very extremist groups in previous Soviet Union, who want to restore the Soviet Union and the totalitarian system. So this is really in a very wrong place, the red flag. It's a very bad thing. And I can say that the color of the flag is very symbolic and very characteristic, because this flag is really painted with blood of victims of the system. And I would say not only the victims who were killed or deported to Siberia or suffered in many ways in the beginning of the Soviet years, but all this more than 50 years for Baltic states and more than 70 years for all other states or parts of Soviet Union, this has been a big suffering, and this has been I could say a time full of victims. I am very strictly against all kinds of violence, and maybe as a creative person I am more sensitive than maybe other kinds of people. I can say that violence is not only when someone comes and hits you or robs you, or violence is also very bad. Violence is forcing people or taking away the possibility to develop and to grow and to find their place in the society freely and to express their talents. I think it's very difficult. I could tell you a short story. The cat once caught a nightingale and holds it in his paw with the nails. Yes, and he says,
"Well, I have heard that you're a great singer. Please sing to me. I would like to hear it. Everyone speaks about you. I have never heard. What would you sing to me?"
And the nightingale doesn't sing.
"Well, what do you think? I don't know what music is. Well, I am a good singer myself. And my kids are singers. Well, please."
And then the nightingale makes a kind of and that's all. Because it's squeezed into the cat's paw. Then cat said,
"Oh, was that all?
Well, that's not music. I couldn't call it music. That was absolutely, I don't know why people praise you." And then it eats it, because maybe it's, well, the good taste. And there's a moral to it, that whose fault it is when the artist cannot express its talents when it's held in the paw of cat. So this is a figuratively said the position of an artist in the totalitarian system is under control from many sides, and must always think, well, what I can do, what I may do, and what I may not do. So, in totalitarian system, everything is controlled. And I could say that nobody is free. The government is free, is not free. The simple people are not free. Well, I think, yes, we don't have such recluses who could be just out of the woods, out in the woods and live there. So everything really is directed by the system, by the, I could say it's not a small group that is directing or making or creating or thinking of these directions. This is a quite big group. It's really a huge system of people controlling each other, so that the big controller controls. We have a saying that funny saying that the controller controlled if the controller had controlled it well, if the controller had controlled the controller. So also I could say that of course, it's not easy to make a career in the system, in the totalitarian system. I think these people don't know or don't have such a thing as a, we call conscience, as we Christians call voice of God, that we listen or feel somewhere inside, and there are many things that we cannot do, but these people have lost this, have eliminated this part of the spirit. And also the government, to go up in career or to go up to reach the position of the government or the leading position, these people must show very much obedience. There's no need to be very smart, I mean, or creative. There's very big need just to be obedient and just to show that you like and appreciate the system and you accept the system. So, what is the, how to say, most important or most important part of the society or most important branch of society? I think it's education, because it's the children are very open and acceptable. They are I could say the totalitarian system always they have created their we call it ideology. I don't know if you use this word, ideology or ideology. Yeah. Yes, you do. Sorry?
Ideology, the idea.
Yeah, ideology. This is a and well, I don't know if so we have the ideology that is worked out from Marxist-Leninist philosophy. Um, And so this is a kind of basis for the whole system and for the social also for the social life. Also, you may have here many parties or many opinions about many things, but there you cannot have a different opinion from this ideology. So that everything is really written down, everything is planned. It's a kind of a huge system worked out, but it has been put on the paper, and well, we had a joke that you know that usually the new medicines are tested on animals, small animals. And someone said that I wonder if the socialist system was also tested on animals before it came to human society. So so everything is planned and everything is written down, but you can plan and write down all kinds of theories. But they don't need to suit to human society. So I hope that now the Soviet Union has proved that this kind of socialist theory is absolutely wrong and it cannot be used to make the human society. So, in the totalitarian system, there is one party. We have the Communist Party. And I could say even we didn't very much mention the Communist Party. It was always written everywhere, just party. And party meant for us the Communist Party, because we didn't have any other parties. So everywhere it was written, party is the big slogans. Long live the union or unity between party and people. There was no unity between party and people. There were slogans. So. There was a very funny slogan. Party is the brain, the conscious and heart of our epoch, era. So you don't need to have any of these. Party has everything. The party has everything. And so if I take it from upside down and say there was the kind of ruling system. There were two parallel governing systems. One was the system of ministries. For every branch of society, there was a ministerium. Ministerium, you know? Do you understand? Ministries? Yes. Yes. The big office of ministries and ministry leaders and the helpers, all kinds of workers there. This was one branch, but the other, what checked the same area for every branch of society and culture also, was the other center in the Central Committee of Communist Party. In the 1950 or so, the very big, huge house was built in Tallinn, and so this was the Central Committee of Communist Party. It was, I think, 16 floors or so, and all this was full of offices for people who were leading the social life from and checking the if everything was all right with the, together with the ideology. You couldn't even go out just to make a show, a humorous show to the people, unless you had to given your material, what you were going to speak to them, you had to have it checked. And sometimes it was said, oh, the sentence, take out. No, you cannot speak about this. You cannot speak about this. So these two leading offices, I could say, were giving directions all the time. The written directions, were sending and were checking everything that was going on in the society. Agricultural, well, industry, everything had their own branch. And everything had to be checked. And the people who got the leading positions had always had to be always ideologically on the right ground. If they were not ideologically on the right ground, they could never reach the high position. So to make a career in this society, you had to lie, because Estonian people, well, we are mostly agricultural people, we mostly have been peasants, and Estonian people are not very, very foolish people. And I personally know very many people who worked in high places, and they never believed it themselves. They always said that the system is rotten and everything is wrong, but they obeyed the orders and directions. So I could say everything: education, literature, music, theater, radio, TV, cinema, information, news, newspapers, all were checked. There was some time when the radio had the directions not to let from the radio so many Western music. So for quite a long time, for a couple of years, you couldn't hear almost at all Western music. It had to be either Russian or Soviet or Estonian. Well, Estonians then tried to let more Estonian music, and not very much Russian. And also, for example, when the new performance was coming out in the theater, there always came to check it the person from the Minister of Culture and the person from Central Committee of the Communist Party. So they checked it that nothing was dangerous for people, nothing where people understand that something is wrong in the society or something like that. And there, it happened that sometimes the performance was prohibited, said no, this won't come out. And sometimes the theater had to change it to make it more right. So I think you know, also one thing that our system was very much against and very fiercely against, well, was religion. I mean, the Christian religion, because the whole system, I think, they spoke about atheism and they tried to ridicule religion and religious people, and they worked out the whole science, what they called atheism. I have read a couple of books of atheism, And it was a compulsory subject in all the institutes, so that you have to study it. But the textbooks are quite naive and quite funny things. For example, there are pictures in the end of the book of atheism that facts what prove that God doesn't exist. One picture was of these two dogs who were let out to the cosmos with a spaceship. So that was also a proof of there's no God.
It's unbelievable.
We have a story about the went out to cosmos, and I don't remember who was the communist leader then, but he invited Gagarin after the flight to the space. He invited him to him and asked, "Well, just you and me, yes, just you and me, you one out there. Could you tell me, is there God or is there not?" Gagarin says, "Well, I must tell you, yes, there is God." "Oh," party leader says, "okay, thank you very much, but never tell it to anyone else." And so the Orthodox Patriarch invites Gagarin to himself and asks him the same question. "Well, tell me now, is there God or is there not?" Gagarin thinks about what the Communist Party leader said and says, "No, there is no God." "Well, just see that you never tell it to anyone else." Everyone could have their own.
That came out in some of the United States papers that was said there was no God.
Same?
When he was up there, he was.
Yeah.
What would it have been? Brezhnev? Would it have been Brezhnev?
No, but it was Gagarin.
Georgi or whatever his name, whatever you.
Gagarin.
That was up there in the spacecraft.
Yeah.
It came out in our somewhere in my newspaper that was a report, there is no God.
He said he didn't see him out there.
He didn't see him out there. It's not a regular history.
Well, there's another story about that. Famous surgeon, yes?
Yeah. Doctor.
Yeah, doctor, but cuts the people into pieces. famous surgeon meets a famous pilot who flies up very often. And the pilot says, "Well, you're saying you're a Christian, but I have been up there so many times, I've never seen God." Surgeon looks at him and says, "Well, I have made surgery to several pilots. I have cut their brains, have the brain surgery to many pilots, and I've never seen any living thought."
Well, they tell a story of a fellow they shot off here at Cape Canaveral, you know.
Yeah.
And they told him what to do. They send him off into outer space. And they told him, "If you have any problems, you want to come back, you push this little button over here. And if that doesn't work, you have this joystick here in the middle, and then you push that that down, and then your spaceship will come back to Earth and will rescue you. So they fire them off into space right over here off the coast of Florida. And you went up and up and up and up, and you felt maybe it's about time you come back, you know? And you push this red button and nothing happened. And he's now way out there somewhere. And he finally, the last resort was this joystick. And he pushed that and nothing happened. And he said, Jesus Christ. And a little small voice said, yes, what can I do for you?
So, maybe some of you have read a book by Orwell, 1984. Well, this is very much, of course, it's a fiction, but there are several things that suit very well. And this book was very strictly prohibited. I know one person was searched at home, and the book was taken away. I spoke about these directions and controls the Communist Party, but that was also the third and biggest and strictest control, and maybe you have heard about KGB.
Mm-hmm.
That's the shortened form. And this really was the most powerful organization about the whole Soviet Union. There was a very big staff, official staff, who were working there, and also there was a very big additional staff from the just ordinary people. There was a saying that almost every third or every fourth person was involved in the work of KGB. They very often used the people like that if they had something in the past, something they had done, something bad in the past. The person was invited and said, well, we take this out and you will suffer very much unless you're going to work for us. Then we forgive you. So very often people consented to it. And also very often someone was invited and said, well, you have quite difficult facilities, or you have a quite difficult life, you are underpaid, and you have a small apartment. Would you like to have a bigger apartment and a good job? And if you are going to work for us, then you would get it. So that that was really very often you couldn't trust another person because you never knew who was working for KGB. So they had their own job, and they had the job in KGB, so that they very often, for example, there was a club, a cafe, a restaurant and a club of artists. And this is, of course, like artists usually are more free than others, and they sometimes like to drink, and especially in such conditions, I could say the totalitarian system very often pushes the people to drinking, because if
you have no freedom, you just many creative people want to get this freedom or to imagine this freedom with the help of alcohol. And so very often the people spoke out in this club to the other people, and always there were also the artists knew who was working in KGB. And sometimes they made fun about them. So there was always someone from the KGB who was listening to them, who was also speaking about and very often provoking the dangerous subjects. So also newspapers and all information was controlled. We had a cartoon in the newspaper that there were two cartoons. One is a very dirty landscape, and the person is standing, and the newspaper is in his hand. It's closed, and it's very dirty, and it's raining, and the wind is bad, and very awful surroundings. And the second picture was he had opened the newspaper and the sun was shining, the sky was clear, and the flowers were blooming around. You understand? Mm-hmm. And he read in the newspaper that was very, very beautiful, but reality was very bad. So. And very often it happened that some such things jumped through the censorship so that someone didn't notice. And then often it happened sometimes also that the whole magazine was reprinted because of a kind of a poem or something like that that went through. And sometimes they did not notice it, only people noticed it, and the editor was punished, or the author was punished. So, so I could say that the communist ideology has always been outside of any discussion or criticism, or even a reasonable analysis, so that it can really be said that it was a religion. It was a very strictly controlled religion. So I could say the party was not denying God, the Creator and Almighty, but it substituted with their own leaders. We can see it as Lenin was not buried and Stalin for some time. They were treated chemically. I don't know what it is, what the word is in English.
Embalmed,
yes. And put into the mausoleum, and people went to see. I have never gone to see this Lenin. There's a funny story that a person goes to Moscow and goes to mausoleum and sees that Lenin there. And, there's a guardian officer there standing, and he goes to the officer and asks, "Well, can I ask you a question? About 10 years ago, I came here, and there were two guys, but now there's only one. Where's the second one?" You know that Stalin was also there, up to the party conference, when he was taken down. Mm-hmm. And the officer thinks what to say, and then says, "Well, his friends buried him." "Oh," says the man, "doesn't this guy have any friends?"
Yeah.
So we had lots of funny stories, and that was one of the most popular thing when people met her. Then first thing was to tell some anecdote that one had listened or had heard. We had a joke about that you can tell the political joke three times. No? First time to your friend, the second time to the police investigator or KGB investigator, and the third time to the cellmate. So, and there's another story. The Brezhnev met with the Finnish president, the previous Finnish president Kekkonen, and they had a private speech, they asked each other what is their hobby, and Kekkonen spoke about his hobby. He said that collected the funny stories that the people spoke about him. Brezhnev says, "Oh, how interesting. You have many?" "Yes," says Kekkonen. "I have published two books." "Published two books, yes." "Oh, that's interesting. I'm almost also collecting funny stories that people speak about me." "Oh!" The Finnish president was very much astonished. "And how many do you have?" "Oh, not very many. Only two labor camps." Yeah. But what's also a funny thing about the Communist Party, that if you have heard a lot about it, and if you have thought about it, always when one party leader is taken off and the other is put on his place, always the previous one has been accused with having the wrong directions, and then the new one always says, "Now we are going the right directions. Now we make a big turn and go the other direction." Then the next one comes, and again this one is accused. "He was very bad. He was very bad. He used people, and he didn't know what is right for our future." And so on. It has always happened. And when someone was dead, then he was spoken of very badly. There's a story, that's a riddle. Do you know, can a snake break his backbone? Can a snake break his backbone? Yes, he can. If he crawls on the party line, Communist Party line, then he can really break his backbone, because it's very very awful. I could speak about it endlessly. Maybe you have some questions. Yeah?
When Americans come over to your country, were you allowed to speak to them?
Oh yeah, that was a problem some years ago. About 10 years ago, the first American Lutheran group came to America, came to Estonia, and that was a theological students group. And if you're interested, next week will come here Pastor Brad Binow from San Diego. He was in the first group, and he can speak about it. They met with Estonian students, also theological students, and almost all these students were, after their visit, were invited to the KGB, and they were asked, what did the Americans speak to you, and what did you speak to the Americans? So it happened very often, and we had a joke that the Intourist hotel that was built into Tallinn, it consists of, I don't know, cement or beton? Beton? What it is? No, beton is a... What is the house built of?
Stories.
No,
foundation. You mean brick or?
No, it's not brick. It's the beton. Concrete.
Concrete.
Yes. We have a saying that it's built of micro concrete. Mm-hmm. What does it mean? It means 70% of microphones. And so this is really true that the microphone system was very well built in into the hotels, Intourist hotels, and also very often the microphones were put well. Not you don't need to put a microphone into our telephone phone. The KGB had the possibility to listen to all the phone calls.
They're all connected together in a way.
Yes, yes, and they had a machine, they had a tape going.
Constantly.
Yes, and of course they didn't check everyone, they had certain people whom they checked. And you could understand it from the... it was not sometimes very well heard, and sometimes you heard some clicks or something like that, and then people joked about it. Well, stop it now. I'm joking.
Well, I want to ask, when Americans came over there and they, you know, you talked to them, did the KGB then punish or kind of...
No. It was not punished, but it was just checked.
Just checked.
Yes, and the people were checked further on also. Yeah. There were several, certain people, for example, all the intellectuals were checked, especially church people were checked.
Yeah.
The pastors, the theological institute students were checked. And also, usually, especially in the city churches, but also in the other places, there was always someone who went to check what the pastor is speaking in his sermon. And the two pastors were taken away their right to preach for 3 years or so. And one pastor was put to prison because of his articles that he published abroad.
Could he preach on God and Jesus then?
Yes, they could preach on God and Jesus, but they couldn't speak about social life.
Social life.
Very often they wanted to do it.
Yes.
You told us yesterday that they could confirm children, but they couldn't have confirmation classes because they weren't allowed to teach the children.
The church could have worships on Sundays, but they couldn't teach children and young people. That was prohibited. And we couldn't have meetings or camps or something like that, never. And people, when they had some meetings or they had some camps in summer, then they just said that, well, we can say that it's a kind of birthday party and I invite my friends, I can do it.
There
you allowed to join the Communist Party? I mean, were you asked to, or?
Me?
Anybody?
Yes. There was one time when many Estonians, many progressive Estonians joined the Communist Party because otherwise there would be majority of Russians in Estonian Communist Party, and they thought that it would be worse. And then they just joined many people who didn't really think to like the communists thought. They just thought that maybe they can change something. Yes.
Were they sympathetic to the ideology, so to speak, for many who were?
Really. Yes, but there were many people also who were rejected, who were said, no, we don't take you, we don't accept you.
Could you tell us a little bit about the formation of Estonia, Lithuania, and Latvia, why that came, and why you fell under the Russian yoke?
Oh, I see. It was during the war, in 19, or before the war, 1940, when Russians, both, or all, Lithuania, Latvia and Estonia were independent countries.
Mm-hmm. For how long?
For about 22. Estonia was 22 years old. They all...
Was that formed after World War One?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. By whom?
1980. From 1980 to 1920, there was a deliberation war. Estonians had an army of 86,000 men, and they fought against Germans and Russians, and they won this war. And from 1920 to 1940, Estonia was an independent country. This is the, also the several Western countries, took in a, into a
it wasn't it. Formed. I'm trying to lead up. It wasn't formed by any political bloc, like
no.
The English and the French,
no.
Or whatever.
No, yeah. No, it wasn't.
It's something that
no, it wasn't.
Was developed.
No, it was Estonian. It was absolutely Estonian. And in the 1940, Russians came in to say that to build the military bases to protect themselves and Estonians against Germans. And that was how they came.
And yet Estonia borders onto Poland, doesn't it?
Sorry?
Estonia doesn't have border onto Poland?
No, it doesn't.
When is the southern border?
We have a sea border with Finland and Sweden, and from the south is Latvia and Russia, so we don't have any other.
My mother was born in Finland, I've been there several times, and they live beautifully, just as free as we do here. And I guess there was a war after, just before World War II,
yes.
But they still do not say anything bad. My friend over there will never say anything bad about Russia. They are very terrible.
Yes. They had a funny story about the people working in the forest, the Finns. They have a border with the Russian. And they also had a war with Russians and liberated themselves from Russians. And the people are working in the forest, and the tree falls on one of them. But he doesn't say a sound. He's just lying there. It's hurting, but he's quiet. And the other people discover that he's under the tree, and they ask, "Oh, why didn't you shout? Why didn't you cry? Help!" "Well, I didn't dare to cry for help. Russian border is too near." This is where
they pretend
it's because yes, Russians come
help.
To help and then stay there. Yes.
Do you feel communism failed economically from within, or do you feel that there are any forces from the outside that aided it to fail? Mm-hmm. Or
communism crashed absolutely economically from inside. because the system is absolutely wrong. It doesn't work.
Do you feel that any the United States had any effect?
No.
I mean, like,
raising the roof falling all by itself anyhow.
Absolutely
Bush,
none.
Bush and our presidents think that they're taking credit for this.
Absolutely none.
You know, for the last 12 years.
From the America, it was only that they built more and more weapons and they wasted more and more money on this. But really, the system is economic system. It's just it's a system of waste. And well, if even the Communist Party gives directions when to sow something or when to cut the
harvest,
yes, when they harvest, it's absurd.
That's about what my father thought of the farm programs at our country starts too. Farmers were rotating crops and doing things long before those guys in Washington, what do they know?
And another thing, when they came into Estonia, they began to build the big factories into Estonia. The raw material for the factories was brought from Russia and production was taken back to Russia or to some other place. And we didn't have enough workers, so they brought in Russians. So we had to build the houses for the Russians. We didn't have enough builders, so they brought in more Russians. In 5 years after 1940, up to 1945, was brought in 240,000 Russians.
Why didn't they just build many those factories in Russia?
because Estonian facilities were more
modern.
Yeah, more. I mean, there were town or village, there were schools, kindergartens, shops everywhere.
Russia didn't have.
But to build it in Russia, but another thing is that it was a policy. It was a policy to make the republics dependent on each other. So that to destroy the national economy. Mm-hmm. And if I'm speaking about education, the purpose of Soviet education has always been to destroy a human being. I can say we had such subjects. I had an education in the conservatoire, what prepares the professional musicians and singers and also drama actors, and all these, and also Art Institute and every other institute. Every institute has the subjects like that. The history of Communist Party textbook was like that. We used it in the university hostel to put it under the pan when we fried our potatoes and when we were eating. It was so very good book to put under the pan on the table. That much of history of Communist Party. You had to learn it, you had to give the test. Then it was dialectical materialism, historical materialism.